I want to thanks God and you all for inviting us to be here. What a joy it is to be up here. I've never done anything like this before. I mean, I've preached before, but I've never done five services in 4 days. That was going to be something like that. I've never preached that. So by Wednesday, I might be dragging over the pulpit here. But preaching God's word is an absolute passion for me, and I tell you, I would like to say that I get up every Sunday morning in Dodge City, and I'm excited about ministry. Truth is, that's not always the case, but the one thing I am always excited to do is to stand behind God's holy desk and preach His holy word. That will never go away. I'll probably preach it and do my own funeral whenever I die. But to preach God's holy word is, you know, it is that absolutely the fire in your bones. And for any pastor who's worth his weight in salt knows that if he doesn't have that fire in his bones, he doesn't have it. And I just love it. I won't start throwing furniture or anything, but I'll get a little wired up here. And not too out of control. It'd be some of my Assembly of God roots coming, you know, working its way through here. But then there are times when I have a chance to do something like this, and I'll just share a little bit about my testimony, where I come from. And you know, 18 years ago, I walked into Alcoholics Anonymous, and I just wanted to quit drinking. That's all I wanted. I was sick and tired, and that was all I wanted. Some of you who've been there know exactly the language I'm talking about. And I just joke with people that was all I wanted, was to quit drinking 18 years ago. Now here it is 18 years later, and God in his infinite true sense of humor takes a drunk, cleans him up, and turns him into a preacher. So I get to look back on 18 years of ministry and 14 years being married to my wonderful wife and just all the experiences I've had, and yet it all began with meeting a man named John in AA 18 years ago, who shared Christ. Not knowing this is where I was going to end up, and John's been praying for me. I've got people back in Olympia, Washington, my hometown, been praying for me ever since Scott asked me to come here and do this. So, you know, some wonderful godly people in my home church been praying for us, and people in Dodge been praying ever since I announced that I was going to be doing this. So it's a joy to do this, and it gives me a pause for reflection. It's always to remember that it is God. It is God who transforms us, who picks us up, changes us, transforms us, and moves us on. And all He asks is that we be willing. So, if nothing else, this morning, I love what Charles Spurgeon, when it was in one of the songs we did, Charles Spurgeon once talked about that sometimes a preacher just wants to attract the crowd, and what they'll do is they'll douse themselves with gasoline, light a match, light themselves on fire, and if nothing else, people will come watch us burn. So if nothing else, you can come watch me burn this morning, okay? So let's get going this morning with Ezekiel chapter 37. Called the Valley of the Dry Bones. If you have an NIV, it might have a little caption over top, and it's the Valley of the Dry Bones. And before I begin, I'll tell you that the term revival has a lot of, you know, negative connotations. You know, we use revival, and what comes with it is some of the charismatic wildness, some of the strange things that have been, you know, inappropriately attached to revival. I know revival's okay. I personally like the term renewal. And I like that's kind of the theme of what we're doing here over the next few days. And I tell you what, I'm not going to preach anything new. I'm probably not going to preach anything that you haven't heard before. My hope is that the Spirit of God will take whatever I preach these next few days and will maybe apply it to you in a new way, in a different way. Will maybe show you some old truths in a new way to revive your spirit, to revive your soul. But this isn't going to be a wow. If it turns into a wow conference or a wow time, it'll be because of what God does, not because I show you anything new. In fact, some of the things I'm going to show you are thousands of years old. But I hope that the Spirit of God will maybe show them to you in a little bit new way. But as we talk about revival or renewal, I found some quotes. And Ezekiel 30, chapter 37, verses 1 through 14, talk about revival or renewal. G. Campbell Morgan once said that revival cannot be organized, but we can set our sails to catch the wind from heaven when God chooses to blow upon his people once again. Howard Spring said this, "The kingdom of God is not going to advance by our churches becoming filled with men, but by men in our churches becoming filled with God." Charles Spurgeon said, "A genuine revival without joy in the Lord is as impossible as spring without flowers or day dawn without light." Andrew Murray said that a true revival means nothing less than a revolution, casting out the spirit of worldliness, making God's love triumph in the heart. And Martin Lloyd-Jones said a revival means the days of heaven on earth. And Vance Havner once said revival is the church that is falling in love with Jesus all over again. The church that is falling in love with Jesus all over again. Well, let's begin by reading the text this morning. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. Ezekiel writes, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of the valley. It was completely full of dry bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' I said, 'O sovereign Lord, you alone know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and tell them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make the breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put the breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and the tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into those slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole household of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, our hope is gone, we are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up to them, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it. This declares the Lord." Heavenly Father, this morning and for these next few days, Lord, I pray that your spirit would be in this place in a mighty and an incredible way. And Father, in my humanness where I fall short and I am not clear in my communication, Lord, may your spirit make those things that are unclear to be clear to the ears of those who hear. Lord, I am certainly not perfect, and I don't stand up here proclaiming to be one who is. And there are just ways that I just don't communicate well at times. And yet, Lord, you communicate absolutely perfectly to our hearts and to our minds and to our spirits. And I pray over the next few days, Lord, that you would just work through me, enable me to get your word to your people, and to do so as clearly and as concisely as I possibly can, knowing full well that Lord, it is by your spirit, not by might, not by power, but by your spirit, will you do anything in our midst, Lord. I just consider it a privilege to be your servant up here, to be used to do this. Now renew us and revive us in our hearts and in our spirits, Lord. May we see Jesus in a fresh way, over these next few days as you work in us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Just a little bit of background about Ezekiel. He was born in 622 to 621 B.C. Roughly, you know, just let's see, 600 years before the time of Christ. He's called to the prophetic ministry that he has. He's called to it at about roughly 29 to 30 years of age. If you want to read more about Ezekiel's call to ministry, read chapter 2. It's very explicit in his call to the ministry. And he is referred to as the watchman of Israel. And there are basically three main parts of this book. Chapters 1 through 24 is a prophecy against Israel. Chapter 25 to 32 is a prophecy against foreign nations because of what they have done to Israel. And chapters 33 to 48 deal with the revival and the restoration, the spiritual revival and restoration of Israel that God will bring. When I was a young man, I used to go elk and deer hunting in Washington. I grew up in Olympia, Washington, that I mentioned a while ago. And I used to go walking through the woods, and I would looking for elk or looking for deer, and I would come upon a pile of bones somewhere. And I would always wonder, you know, what kind of animal is that? What's the history behind these bones? How did this thing die? What life did it have? What went on with it? Age shown age-worn bones laying out there in the middle of the forest. Now, I realize you don't have any kind of type of the tall forest like we have in Washington. But you could still go for a walk out here, and you could find bones that are just lying out in the middle of nowhere. And maybe you wonder the same thing. Maybe your mind works in some of the same ways that mine does. You wonder, what's the deal with this? And what type of life inhabited those bones? They're dry, and they're very brittle to the touch. This is exactly what Ezekiel sees. But Ezekiel sees the whole valley floor of them. Of dry, dead, and the brittle bones. Verses 3 through 9, my first point this morning is that the Word of God and the Spirit give life. It is the Word of God and the Spirit that gives life. A fresh Word from God brings renewal and revival to us, to our own souls. A cool water to a thirsty man. You know, Labor Day weekend, we put a new roof on my youth pastor's roof in Dodge City. You know what? I could just shoot people who put three layers of roofing on a roof. You just need to have something seriously to be done to you to do that. When you're going to replace a roof, please take off the layer and just replace it. Don't layer over. We had to take out three layers of roof off of his roof. And it was a humid and muggy day on Labor Day weekend, and we had bottles of water up there. And I remember just being so thirsty, I grabbed a bottle of water, just opened it, just down the whole bottle of water right there. That's kind of a picture of what the dead and dry and brittle bones that Ezekiel saw. They had no moisture, they had no water, they had no content of water in them at all. But a fresh word from God brings renewal, brings revival. It's like a cool drink of water to a thirsty man. Much like I was up on that roof as we were re-roofing that weekend. So God asks Ezekiel a question, an incredible question. God says, can these bones live? Now in our day today, if we were to ask, can these bones live, we might say, well, let's have a board meeting. Let's have a conference, and we'll discuss if these bones can live or not. We'll have a board meeting about it. We'll schedule a vote on it. We'll assign it to a committee. Good Christian thing to do. We'll come up with a plan of action on if these bones can really live or not. We'll call and ask for approval from the Missionary Church USA in Fort Wayne. We can't do anything without calling them. So we'll call Fort Wayne and ask them, we have a pile of bones, can these bones live? We'll take up an offering to see if these bones can. We'll do anything to find out these bones. Now I'm being facetious here. But I believe that God asked Ezekiel this question for a purpose. He was going to find out from Ezekiel, how could these bones live? What did Ezekiel really believe about the possibility of a whole valley floor of dead, dry, lifeless bones ever living again? Because he wanted to hear Ezekiel's answer, and Ezekiel's answer was, we've taken a vote, Lord. No. Ezekiel's answer was, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. God, can our churches that are dead and dying on the vine live again? Or if God would ask that question of the pastors across this land, can your church live again? Can your church be revived? And we might say, well, we'll call in it. We'll have a revival service. And those things aren't bad. These doing things like this aren't bad at all. That's not my point. The point is that we recognize that it is that the answer must be, you, O sovereign Lord, know. If it's anything else, then we just pack up and we go home. You, O sovereign Lord, alone know. And Ezekiel acknowledges God's sovereign power to make possible what seems impossible, to make the dead bones live again. So Ezekiel, but it's not just, you know, you, O sovereign Lord, no, you do it. I'll just sit back and watch because God calls Ezekiel to be a partner in this. God tells Ezekiel, go prophesy to the bones. You're not going to get out of this. You're not just going to say, get off with the great theologically correct answer, you, O sovereign Lord, no, and you're done. Because he pulls Ezekiel into it. And that's what God does with us. Yeah, God, there can be renewal and revival in our churches. You alone know. And God goes, okay, well, you know what? You're going to be a part of this too. You're not going to be a chair warmer or a pew warmer in this. I'm going to pull you into this as well. So he tells Ezekiel, go prophesy to the bones. And then that's verse number four. Verse number six, he says, I will put the breath in you. And this is much like the creation account in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. The Hebrew word here is ruah, which means wind or breath or spirit, depending on the context. But it is God's breath. All God has to do is breathe on these things, and they're going to be brought to life. So he asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? Ezekiel says, you alone, Lord, know. And God called Ezekiel to partner with him, prophesy to these bones. And then in verse number 6, he says, I will put breath, I will breathe on you. All I have to do is breathe on you, and these things will come to life. Now, for the believer in the New Testament, God has given us his Holy Spirit to breathe life into us. So as we minister here over these next few days, it is through the person of the Holy Spirit. And we especially need this when we get too dry. We get too arid. In verse number 9, he says, to prophesy to the breath of the four winds. This is a Hebrew way of saying, I'm the God of all the people. I'm the God of the people of the north, God of the people of the south, the east, and the west. When he said prophesy to all the winds, he's saying, I am the God of all the people. So number one this morning, the Word of God and the Spirit give life. You know, I struggle sometimes, every so often from time to time, I will say, God, how can you work in the church in Dodge City? How can you renew us or change us or how can you? You know, I just, as a pastor, we think about these things. And then I see what other pastors are doing. This is a commentary on what other pastors are or aren't doing. I'm just saying I see other things. And then I sit back and I'm reminded something will happen in a service because of God's word being preached. And I come back to the place that I always begin. Is that God's word will always be enough. God's word will always be enough. And I tell my people in Dodge, if you ever hear me get up here and preach anything other than God's word, you get up and you run out the back of this church and don't ever come back here again. Because God's word has to be enough. If we ever get to a place where God's word is not enough, then we have nothing else. You, O sovereign Lord, know, and you, O sovereign Lord, can do it and will do it in according to your word and your mighty power as you decide to use and to work through us, the frail human beings. Amen? So the word of God and the Spirit give life. Number two. In verses 11 through 14, we see that God never leaves his people hopeless. Verses 11 to 14, we see that God never leaves his people hopeless. As he's talking about the house of Israel. And this is an encouragement that God will never leave his people hopeless. One unchangeable fact about God is that he hates sin. He always has and he always will. And though he allows the punishment to be visited upon his people, to come upon his people who rebel against him, he always, always offers hope if they will return to his ways again. One of the beautiful things about God is that he may allow the punishment to be visited upon our lives because of our disobedience to him, but he will never, ever leave his people hopeless. There will always be a way back to God. Always. Will there be a way back to the Lord? God never leaves his people hopeless. Though, in verse 11 it says that the house of Israel is saying, our bones are dried up. Our hope is gone. We are cut off. We are cut off. Our bones are dried up and we are cut off from the Lord. God has allowed a punishment to come upon his people. I want you to notice in the last part of this chapter, there are let's see, seven times that God says, I or I will. There are seven times. If you count, there are seven times God says, I or I will. God alone is capable and is able and is sovereign and powerful enough that he alone can and will renew us. He alone can by his Spirit come into a church that is dead, dry, maybe just a little on the dry side, maybe is a little unsure about direction, a little unsure about future vision, a little unsure about what's going on or where they're headed. I mean, it can range from one extreme to the other. A church is completely dead and just ready to be written off to a church that, we're just not quite sure where we're going. And it doesn't matter where you are in those extremes or maybe in the middle. God says, seven times, I will or I am. Or just I. You know, it used to bother me as a young pastor. I'm still a young pastor. But it used to bother me as a young pastor. I would struggle with what I could do to get a church going. I think every young pastor probably deals with this. What can I do, God? I mean, God, am I good enough to do this? The first answer is no, you're not. But God, what can I do? You know, the church doesn't seem to be heading in the right direction or doesn't seem to be going. God, what can I do here? And I think any young pastor should probably read Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14 and understand that it is God who renews or who revives or who restores a people. And I think that would keep a lot of pastors from leaving the ministry because of discouragement. Because they serve in a church that let's face it, maybe a church doesn't want to be revived. That could be a possibility. Maybe a church had forgotten who she belongs to. Who called her to be, as I heard in the Sunday school lesson, who called her to be the called out ones, the ecclesia. We forget who the caller is. And we fall into this place of dryness and barrenness, and we no longer have a purpose in our lives. We're kind of like the valley of the dry bones. You know, God uses Ezekiel the prophet as a mouthpiece to Israel. And yet, there's no doubt who is pulling the strings and making things happen. There's no doubt at all. And the impossibility of a people's prayer. God, we are like, our bones are dry. We are cut off. We feel dead. And as Ezekiel looks out over this valley of the dry bones, in fact, I wish I'd have cut the slide out. If you do a Google for Ezekiel, Valley of the Dry Bones, come up with some amazing pictures. And it being close to Halloween, there was a couple that were really, really good. Shows a dark, shadowy figure of Ezekiel up on a hill, and below him is just a valley of dry, dead bones below him. And the impossibility of that picture, the impossibility of that picture makes it all the more incredible when God does it. The impossibility of a church that is dead or let's say dying or maybe it's just its light is a little low, the lamp of its light is a little low. And the impossibility of God, we can never revive ourselves. And you know what? There's a lot of truth in that. No, we can't revive ourselves. But we can pray to the God of the four winds, the God who only has to breathe a small breath of his air into his people to renew them. Let me ask a few questions here this morning. Are you feeling like a dry pile of bones? I mean, spiritually speaking, are you feeling like a dry pile of bones? As I mentioned, there is nothing magical that I can do this morning, tonight, Monday, Tuesday. I can't do anything magical. I can't. There's nothing that I can do. But if you are willing to recognize, number one, you know, they told me when I walked into Alcoholics Anonymous 18 years ago, the first thing you got to do is the first step, and that is you got to admit you got a problem. And it took me a long time to get to the place of admitting that I had a problem. So the first thing that we need to do, if we have a problem, is to admit that I have a problem. God, I'm not living for you as I ought to. God, you know, I'm just not on fire for you anymore. I was years ago, and I'm just not anymore. For whatever reason. But the first thing in answering this question is admitting that you're not where you would like you to be, you would like to be, and admitting the fact that I'm not where God would like me to be either. Because the people cry out and they say our bones are dried out and our hope is gone. We are cut off. I mean, they finally admit that they have a problem. God has withdrawn his spirit from them. And this verse is the admission that we have. I was watching Apollo 13 the other night, you know, when the astronaut says, Houston, we have a problem. God, we have a problem. Or God, I have a problem. So are you feeling like a dry pile of bones, spiritually speaking? And can your bones live? Maybe there's no life in your walk with God. There may be some unconfessed some sin in your life. Does God have the highest priority in your life? You know, the reason why Israel ended up in the problem she was in was because God wasn't the highest priority in her life. And the reason why churches end up being in places where their light is shining very low is because God is not the highest priority in that church's life. If we want to minister the love of Christ to others, we need to have it ourselves. I can't give away what I don't have. You can't give away what you don't have. So if a dry, brittle, lifeless walk with Christ is what you have, that's exactly the only thing you can give away. I mean, it stands to reason. You can't give away what you don't have. And it will, if you are an old, dry bone, my dog might enjoy having you come over to our house. That he likes to dig holes. You know what I found? This is between my wife and I. Excuse me just for a second. I found that Bolt likes to dig holes and drop his toys and bones in a hole. I didn't know that. I just let you in on a little communication between me and my wife this morning. We have a dog, Cocker Spaniel, we bought, and our kids named him Bolt. We got him right after that movie. The movie Bolt came out, so they wanted to name him Bolt. He likes to. So if you're a dead, dry, lifeless bone, you might be good for a dog. But for being an example of the life and the health and the vibrancy and the joy and the peace of Jesus Christ that should be exhibited in us as believers, it can't happen. When I came to Dodge a little over 3 years ago, they had been through a horrible ordeal. They'd had removed, let's see, 6 people out of the church for conduct that was not good toward the body. They didn't want to come under the authority of the district or the church. And so after a long process, they removed these, let's see, 6 people out of the church. Horrible thing. But, you know, all I can say is I'm glad I didn't have to be the one to be there to make those decisions. But when I came in, my first, let's see, Sunday, we had, let's say, 60-some people, I think. And I looked out in the congregation, and their eyes were as big as saucers. A church that had been 200, 250, maybe close to 300, something like that, a year or so before, was now a church of 60. And their eyes were big as saucers, and I could just tell, they were looking around and they were going, what in the world happened to us? How did we get in this condition? How did we, and I tell you what, I'm no miracle worker, I've been there 3 years, we're at 65, I think. And it's going to take time. And we may never be back up to 300 again. But the look in their eyes, but now I look out there and I preach on a Sunday morning, I don't see that look in their eyes anymore. I see some hope. I see some people who say, oh, well, because the only thing that they were worried about is, are we going to be okay? And now they're in a place where they're saying, you know, I think we're going to be okay. But it wasn't, they're not going to be okay because of what I did, other than I preached God's word, and as the dead, the dry, brittle, cut off bones that were in that place are now saying, we have hope again. God's word has come back into this place and we have hope again. Jesus says in John 10:10 that he has come that we might have life. And he is not just talking about the future eternal life. He is talking that we might have life and have it now. John chapter 7, verses 37 and 39 say that streams of living water will flow out of us. is the water is a euphemism for the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit living in us and refreshing us as streams of living water. So we go back to the question that Ezekiel is asked by God. Can these bones live? What would your answer be, knowing now why God is asking that question? If you are in a place that you feel cut off, you feel just though your walk is slowed down, your bones are brittle and dry, can your bones live? And if they can, why and how and who is going to be the one to do it? I tell you what, it's not going to be me over the next 4 days. It'll be me only as I preach God's word. And I just pray that God's Spirit will be in this place in a powerful way, that He will bring life, maybe to some bones that are growing a little brittle. I tell you what, I've been in that place. I'll share more over the next few days, one of the places I was at just before I got to Dodge, where my bones were dry and brittle. But if I share that with you now, then you won't come back. So that's a good teaser, isn't it? Let's close with a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, this morning, this word doesn't necessarily have an end, because it's an ongoing question. It's an ongoing activity of you working in our lives, Lord. And I pray that this morning and for the next few days that some questions will continue to come to our mind. That we will ask ourselves the question, where are my bones at? Do I love Jesus as much today as I did when He first called me? Do we as a church understand who we are and where we're at and what we are called to do? Or are we individually and corporately maybe kind of dying on the vine a little bit? But we give You praise that the answer to the question is You, O Sovereign Lord, know. And Father, I pray that not just in the next few days, that in the next few weeks and months, that You will blow a new wind through this place. That You will blow a wind into the lives of Your people, into the corporate life and the individual lives of this church body. That there might be a true sense of renewal, a renewed sense of purpose, and a renewed sense of understanding of who they are in Christ. Lord, that You did come that we might have life. And not just have life that we get by on, but have life and have it more abundantly. Have abundant joy, even in the midst of dark circumstances. I so appreciated the brother got up here and shared about he had cancer. That is abundant joy in the midst of circumstances that aren't going our way. Your Father, we love You. And we thank You and we praise You, and we know that You are the one. You are the one that can make these bones live. We give You praise and glory and honor and power in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.